This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here in a little bit.
Also, I just invented a new character. He's a Thugs Bunny.
That's funny. That's a good one. By the way, I want to say thanks to A. Friedman. He is a gold-level supporter of the AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And that is a way for you to back us up here on the air. And A. Friedman is a gold-level supporter, meaning that A. Friedman is contributing $10 a month to the AMPS program. We only ask for $5, so thank you for doubling up.
Friedman or Friedman?
A. Friedman.
Which one?
One of them. The one giving $10 a month to the AMPS.
A must be short for anonymous.
At perhaps at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you to our Patreon page where you can sign up there. Or maybe you don't like Patreon. And they're not the greatest company in the world. If you want to contribute alternately, you can do that through our Odyssey channel. Just go to video.freetalklive.com and click the join button at the top of the page, and then you can contribute $5 a month through Odyssey. Now, Odyssey does things differently than Patreon. They will add the fee onto the donation amount, whereas Patreon takes it out from the donation amount. So if you do $5 on Patreon, we get something like $4 and change.
Yeah.
If you do it on video.freetalklive.com, it'll be like a total of 570 something. So the 70 something cents goes, it pays a credit card fee, and a little bit of it goes to Odyssey, which is a nice thing because we love Odyssey. So that's another way for you to contribute over at video.freetalklive.com. So I had asked you, Peakless Mountaineer, right before we went away to the news break there, about this question of this big fear that everyone's so afraid of, that if the United States federal government thugs default on the so-called debt, what does that actually look like? Because isn't their debt essentially treasury bonds that have been sold to various different types of buyers all around the planet and across the United States? I mean, what other...
Well, so there's that. There's also all of their spending. So in other countries, what happens is when they pass a budget, that is assumed to be something that they will pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in America, we separate the process of actually paying for the thing and deciding how much money we're going to spend. So in theory, if we were, say, not perhaps the most corrupt thing on the planet, we would make a budget that actually fell below the debt ceiling. That would be the, like, responsible adult kind of thing to do.
Wait a minute.
But we don't ever do that.
So you mean, like, a regular human being who, like, has a job or a career or whatever, you know, credit cards and loans notwithstanding, but they basically have to create a budget that is realistically within their means to pay, as opposed to the federal government, which doesn't have to do that at all.
It's sort of like that, but worse. So when I make my budget, I look at how much money am I taking in,
yep,
how much am I already obligated to spend,
yep,
and then I figure out how much I have extra that I can spend on things, and hey, maybe put some aside for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're way beyond that point. So there's no chance of... Now, what they do every single year is they run a deficit. Now,
different from the debt.
Right. Well, sort of. So the debt is the add up of all the deficits. So every year
never paid off.
Right. Every year they spend a certain amount that is always more than the amount that they take in taxes.
Right.
And that difference there is the deficit. Now, if you add up the deficits as far back as we've had deficits,
it's 31 something trillion dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the difference between the deficit and the national debt. They're related, really related terms. So for them, it's not a matter of, am I going to spend, say, the same amount or, God forbid, less than I took from the people.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. It's how much extra am I going to spend? And they can't even keep to that.
Nope.
Yeah, and people wonder, like, how come all the regular, the common folk, you know, can't balance a budget or, you know, balance a checking account or whatever? Well, guess where they learned it from? They learned it from watching you, okay. Government.
Okay, but okay, let's focus though on the idea of if the debt ceiling,
back to the debt ceiling. So the debt ceiling is like saying, okay, I promise to only take out a credit card with a limit of $50,000, and then, so a half rational human being might go, okay, I better cut my spending so that I only spend $50,000 more than I take in this year. That's not what the government does.
No.
No. They spend absolutely recklessly, and then when the bill comes due, oh, well, we better get another credit card, mm-hmm. and this is Party A fighting Party B, and it's always the party that is not in power says, shame on you. You shouldn't have spent so much money that I also agreed to do.
Yeah.
Right. Now, in order for there to be a spending, they have to agree on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always both parties agreeing on the spending. But
because ultimately they all know that they want the debt ceiling raised when it's their turn
right.
to be in charge.
Right.
So all of it is just posturing. All the Republicans saying that they're going to be serious this time, and it's a bunch of nonsense. But if it happens, and as you already pointed out, you said there are certain things that are exempt from the debt mm-hmm. ceiling. So you, I think, listed Social Security and other
various Social like the Security, VA, Medicaid. Yeah, the VA. I think the Postal Service. Although that one's kind of tricky because it's supposed to have its separate fund and they keep like raiding that fund. So
I mean, there's all these things that they're probably not going to cut into because
right.
they don't need to worry about that. So I don't think that they're going to stop sending Social Security checks as a result of the defaulting on the debt ceiling. So besides not paying interest on Treasury bonds that they've promised, what are some other things that it would possibly manifest as?
So, for example, paying the military, like actually giving them a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
That is questionable.
And so they could tell people in the military, well, sorry, we're just going to furlough you, essentially, or keep you on duty but not pay you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they've done that in the past.
Mm.
They've kept them on duty without paying them. It doesn't go well.
But usually they get the debt ceiling raised eventually, and then they give them back pay at that point, right?
Yeah.
So that's the promise. They'll promise them and say, look, we can't afford to pay you right now, but in a few months or weeks or however long this thing takes, you'll get all your back pay.
Yeah. Right? And what usually happens is that they make this big argument to pretend like there is a real possibility of it not happening, because that pretense makes it look like we actually care about keeping to something that is similar to a budget.
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually care about keeping to anything remotely similar to a budget, which is why we keep starting extra wars that we've got to fund,
right.
Some of which aren't even our wars. Ukraine. Anything that you can get people to agree, yep, that is important enough that we can spend on it. So they make a program for that, and then hire their buddies, and then give money to their buddies' companies to do those things. All of the time. But they have to make this argument to pretend like they're trying to be responsible when they're yep. clearly not attempting to be slightly responsible.
Yeah, and then give the people who can't fathom what the heck they're all talking about, right, with all this, the media coverage of the debt ceiling and all yep. that kind of stuff, the people who have no idea how to comprehend any of that, in the end they go, oh good, they figured it out.
Right.
Whew.
Right.
Which is untrue. They did not figure it out. All they did is increase the debt.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's exactly it. They're playing on people's emotions, inducing completely unnecessary anxieties so that they can then swoop in as the hero. I am the God King that you require. And people go, phew.
Problem.
Good thing they agreed to be completely irresponsible with money this year.
Problem, reaction, solution.
Right.
This is known as the Hegelian dialectic. For those of you who aren't aware, you can go look that up. And all it means is, they create the problem, then they react to the problem, and then they pose as the solution to the problem which they just created.
Yeah. So, for example, the 80 gajillion agencies, like all of the three-letter acronyms, the four-letter acronyms, the seven-letter acronyms, all of the agency and department of blah, 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 Department of Education, Department of Agriculture, Department of all of the ones that you've never even heard of,
right.
Those, theoretically, could not get paid.
Yeah.
All of the, like the food stamps program and all of their welfare programs, all of these things could all theoretically not get paid if they don't raise the debt ceiling. Now, that never happens. As you pointed out, it's, what, 70-some-odd times that they've done this already?
Since 1960.
Yeah. Yeah. It always happens. I mean, it's a very simple parabolic thing. But the thing is, at this point, it's starting to go vertical. Like, if you look at a graph of their spending, it is starting to reach the point where it is just infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of an issue.
Well, they're talking tough, of course. The House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy has said, if you gave your child a credit card and they kept hitting the limit, you wouldn't just keep increasing it. You'd sit down with them to identify where they're overspending and where they can change their behavior, he wrote on Twitter. It's time for the federal government to do the same thing. Oh now it's time.
Right.
And, yeah. And not when we made the budget, mind you.
And no one watches the watchers, right? So when it comes to you and I, or the common folk, we'll call them residents, citizens of the United States of America, whatever you want to term these people as, if you screw up your budget too badly, you go to jail for things like fraud, right? Mm-hmm. If you start borrowing, or you start like taking out a credit card to pay off the other credit card, and or you're check kiting or anything mm-hmm. like that, you eventually go to jail. When governments do it, well, there's nobody to put them in jail.
Right. Well, and so one of the things to keep in mind about this whole thing is that it is all about faith. So when they start talking about the possibility of not paying this, that's not a realistic possibility, because that would destroy the faith in the dollar. When they start talking about minting a trillion-dollar platinum coin, that is not a realistic possibility, because that would also destroy the faith in the currency. Like this, the whole scam comes down to everyone on the planet believing that the dollar is worth a damn.
Well,
and if they destroy that, like, they give up the game.
The only reason that there's any faith in the dollar whatsoever is because people are under the threat, right, of the government themselves, right?
I don't think most people realize that.
No, but that is the fundamental reason.
Yes and no.
It's the only reason the U.S. dollar has value is because it is backed by all of the guns and nuclear weapons that the federal government has.
Well, that's true on an international scale.
Yes and no.
That's the only reason it has any value at all.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's the only reason that it has any value at all. So, for example,
what other reason could it possibly have value?
Let me run you an example. China. Now, China has no realistic probability of being invaded by the United States. That would be an absolute disaster,
mm-hmm.
and they all know that. Nevertheless, the dollar spends just as well in China as it does in the rest of the world. Now, part of it is the indirect thing. So it is force, but it's indirect force. So in the Middle East, for example, every country that decides they won't play ball with the American financial system gets invaded.
And bombed.
Right. Exactly. They get destroyed. All of that force gets used not necessarily against someone for deciding not to use it, but against, you know, whichever target is convenient for them deciding not to use it. And since these are the places where all of the oil is, they know that they're not going to get bombed for not using the dollar, but they also know that these people over here will get bombed if they don't use the dollar and use our banking and debt system, because that's a big important part of it. It's not even just not using the dollar.
Yeah.
It's refusing to go into debt.
Yeah, the United States dollar is the world's largest and most evil Ponzi scheme.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, like, even if you use the dollar but refuse to go into debt because your religion demands that you not go into debt,
mm-hmm.
which is what Islam does,
yeah.
It's my favorite part of Islam. They have a really good banking system. And except for Saudi Arabia, they actually follow it. So all of these countries that refuse to go into debt get bombed. So it's not even just a matter of not using the dollar. It's the entire financial scheme. So, like, yeah. even if you somehow found a way to not use the dollar and use the pound, but you refused to go into debt, you'd still get bombed.
So outside of coercion, where does the USD get its value?
Oh, that. Nowhere.
Ah, all right, then.
I mean, different kinds of coercion.
Well, on the world stage, it's certainly more obvious that it's coercion, but locally, it's pure brainwashing. I mean, people here have, they don't realize, the average person doesn't understand what a legal tender law is.
No,
right?
Not at all.
They don't know that. And further, as I understand the legal tender laws in the United States, they actually don't require you to accept the dollar for payment.
Right.
It's only for debt payments.
Right. You could open a store that does nothing but accept, like, gold
our
and
friends
crypto
did it.
And that
our,
kind of
our
thing.
Our friend Derek J. and Steven, they opened a store that only accepted cryptocurrencies, and they didn't get raided or anything like that. So I don't think that that's, you know, that's the reason why people use it.
Right.
They use it because it's what's there. It's what their grandparents used.
Right.
It's always been around, and it's, you know, as bad as it is, that's what people are used to.
It's what they grew up with.
Yeah. So the original value of the thing is always force-based. However, the continuing value of the thing has to do with how poorly it's managed. So if financial, you know, gurus know for a fact that you are likely to print 100 times as many dollars next year, they're going to respond differently. They're going to go, oh, are you less responsible than, say, Argentina? Well, then I'm going to have some Argentinian currency instead of your currency.
Which is over 100% inflation, by the way, right now.
Right.
You're on year.
That's exactly it. So if you are less responsible than them, then all of the financial gurus in the world go, you know, I've already paid my taxes, so I don't have to pay you in your money. I'll use this money to hold on to instead. Yeah. And that's the thing that they have to avoid. That's why they're not going to print a $1 trillion platinum coin, or mint, rather, a $1 trillion platinum coin to pay this off. That's why they're not going to default on the debt. That's why they're not going to do a bunch of the other things that, I mean, they do technically solve the problem without raising the debt ceiling.
No,
oh, and it's why they're not going to remove the debt ceiling entirely, even though that seems like the obvious solution.
Well, they're talking now about doing just that. There's,
it's just a production, though. This is like, it's like a Hollywood script, right? They put all these things out there so that, I mean, we're kind of participating in it right now by talking about it the way we are, right? We know what's going to happen. The same thing is that they're going to raise the debt ceiling and it's just going to go on. We're going to have this little moment of, like, press time where they, you know, all this crap bubbles to the surface and everyone's like, oh, the debt ceiling! And then, like, we'll forget about it in 15 minutes.
At least until the next time they do it.
Yeah.
Not 15 minutes, one
the,
full year.
The 79th or 80th time or whatever, however many times
it's been. But there are still, you know, it is still interesting to think about what would happen if they, you know, didn't do it. And what kind of wild ideas they have to avoid having to raise the ceiling. You talked about the $1 trillion coin that seems to be being taken more and more seriously. For instance, the I saw some headlines about Paul Krugman, who's this big Keynesian economist, quote-unquote, that writes for the New York Times.
Nobel Prize winner, as a matter of fact.
Apparently, even he has said that the $1 trillion coin could be something that they, you know, he's on board with it, but he had a different idea that he wanted to propose. And I don't know if he doesn't weigh in on this one, but this idea is to essentially have the Biden administration declare the debt ceiling to just simply be unconstitutional. Like, well, we're just going to just throw the thing out and let the Supreme Court decide on this. And there's that would be their argument. Like, just keep spending. It's unconstitutional to have a debt ceiling. It's apparently, that's the summary of what
they're talking about. Isn't it unconstitutional to have a debt?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
No.
No?
No. Debts are actually written directly into the Constitution.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Seems our forefathers, all four of them, overlooked something.
So
not
we could,
two, all three, all five, but four!
We can talk more about the banking crisis. We also want to get into the Reporters Without Borders study on press freedoms. But let's talk to someone calling themselves Major Pain in the Butt, calling from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Man, what a pain. I guess I might like to stay on your fans and stuff, but I'm not gonna do that because I don't want to talk about the other thing. And I just plugged you, and by virtue of telling you that I plugged you on a venue that you weren't getting plugged on, you're gonna get another ad. So nobody, are you coding? Because I just plugged your 411 Get411.com app on the local radio station in Albuquerque.
It's getcell411.com. That's the website for people to go and get involved in helping develop an app that has unfortunately fallen into disrepair over the years, that when it works is a great way for people to respond to emergency situations or situations that are urgent in some way that they, you know, when you need help, your friends can actually show up instead of having strangers with guns show up where they might possibly shoot your dog or shoot you or one of your loved ones. So that's kind of the point behind Cell 411. It's a more decentralized emergency response app.
Right. And I plugged it in the context of a half-hour radio conversation that was about the very same thing that your radio program is about, and that your government is an unlawful and illegal criminal enterprise. It's organized crime government. Did you hear me? And that's what we were talking about, and we got down to the level of what can you do about it. And there's, you know, there's a million different instances of things that they're doing to us. And when they supplied the scenario of, for instance, being forced to put a mask on your face in order to receive a service, whether public or private, to which you could argue that you're entitled to utilize that service and you're being forced to wear a mask to do it. That I said that there was available in the past, and there probably, hopefully, will be again in the future, the Cell 411 app. But in the absence of that app, which does a bunch of cool things, that we might need to revert to manual mode. I mean, you can do any of the various lives, whether you know all of the enemies, the YouTube, the Facebook, the Twitter, whoever's got a live function. And in absence of that, revert to the phone tree where if somebody corners you, you make one phone call, and then they each make two phone calls, and do a poor man's cell 411, and all those people, you concentrate your efforts. So when you're being attacked as one person, you make a pact with your 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 friends and concentrate your efforts. You make one phone call, they make some phone calls, and within 15 minutes, you got 20 people, 40 people standing behind you.
Yeah, well, one of the things that's true is, and thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
And I hope you call into Beard Talk Live to further discuss it.
Yeah, I do want to further discuss it a little bit here. What he's pointing out is that having friends on your side makes a difference. Having numbers makes a difference.
A community of like-minded individuals?
Yeah, I support peaceful solutions, obviously.
Yes.
And so if you can bring peaceful people to bear on a certain situation, whether it be the police pulling over a friend of yours or something else bad that's happening, you can change how that situation plays out for the better in a lot of cases. And that's one of the reasons why those of us who love liberty, us libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist types, have moved here to New Hampshire so we can have that network of people that care about freedom in the immediate vicinity who can come when called in whatever technical way that they're summoned. And that makes a huge difference. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The suspect in a shooting at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas, is reportedly dead while police continue to search for a second suspect. There are reports of multiple victims, including children. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is sending quick response teams to the southern border ahead of an expected surge in illegal crossings as Title 42 expires next week. Shouts of "God Save the King" rang out as Charles III has his crown. A historic coronation ceremony took place on Saturday at Westminster Abbey for Charles and Queen Camilla before a crowd of thousands of invited guests. Mage went off at 15-1 odds, but defied the odds, winning the 149th Kentucky Derby. Two Phils and Angel of Empire round out the top three on a day that was marred by two horses having to be euthanized. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Of the show. You can join us at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass. And of course, you can join us online anytime you want. We do have our own social media platform, which you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and some of the hosts over at social.freetalklive.com. So once again, head on over there. That is social.freetalklive.com. Let's see. Let's come back around to the banks thing, because we did promise the press freedom story. And Captain Kickass, you have wanted to tell us about what's been going on with the new 2023 Reporters Without Borders study that they do yearly. They look at the top, well, all of the countries, at least the ones that they can measure.
Yeah.
There's a few that they can't really get a measurement on.
Well,
but they look at countries, and they look at how free or unfree their press freedom is there, and they come up with a chart and a handy little map that's interactive. And it's very,
yeah,
very nice.
This is, I mean, in order to identify whether or not you know there's an impact on a thing, or a thing is having an impact in anything, in industry, and you know, charities or whatever, you have to be able to measure it. Right?
Yep.
So this is the way that some folks measure press freedom, is by having this sort of annual thing. Come on, this particular article that I brought in today is from RT. Press freedom declining worldwide.
Mm.
Worldwide. So not just, you know, here in the supposedly land of the free. No, It's worldwide. This is a global problem now. If you think that, the New World Order is just a conspiracy theory, or that there are not global elites working together in concert to reduce your freedoms, you're wrong, because they are. Reporters Without Borders has declared the situation is, quote, very serious, unquote, in a record number of countries. Journalists are facing threats and hostility in more countries than ever before, according to this year's World Press Freedom Index. However, the report condemns non-Western governments for clamping down on press freedom while ignoring violations in the EU and North America. Published every year by Reporters Without Borders, the World Press Freedom Index analyzes legal and physical threats to journalists to rank the level of press freedom in 180 countries. This year's index describes the situation in 31 countries as very serious, up from 28 last year. Only in 8 countries is the situation described as good.
But there's 8 countries where it's good?
A number that has remained unchanged, at least since last year.
Well, so, to be fair, some of these countries, I'm looking at the chart over at rsf.org or looking at the interactive map, some of them have increased in their score. So it's not like every country across the whole planet has been going down in press freedom. Maybe overall it has.
One country went up, another one went down. So when you look at it in the big picture, what you find is what they're reporting on
here.
Yeah,
I could see the overall score going down, but some places are still pretty good.
Norway took first place.
Mm-hmm.
Not the United States.
Norway again took first place. It was also first place last year.
For the seventh year
in
a row, Norway took first place, followed by Ireland.
And they increased their score. Norway did. Yeah. So not only are they first place, they are a better first place than they were last year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Followed by Ireland in second. Denmark comes in third. 9 of the top 10 countries are EU states.
Mm-hmm.
9 of the top 10 countries are EU states. Notice I haven't mentioned the United States yet. While a number of prominent murders and the ongoing closure of local news outlets brought the U.S. down from 42nd place to 45th.
Wah, wah. Well, still in the top 50, guys.
Yeah, of 180. Yeah. That's not even the 80-20 rule playing out there.
By the way, let's share with you some of the other countries that are around the United States.
Hang on. Canada came in 15th.
Yeah.
The UK came in 26th. The major non-Western powers, Russia, China, and India, all placed below 160th.
Mm-hmm.
So as you might expect, like these, you know, super militant regime type folks are way low on the list.
So I wonder how the rest of the Norse countries did, since Scandinavia and Denmark did so great.
Sweden at number 4, down from 3 last year. Finland at number 5, staying at number 5. And Denmark, again, at number 3, down from number 2 last year.
I love those Norse.
The other countries that placed below 160th, Iran, Saudi Arabia, much of the Middle East, and Asia. However, while Reporters Without Borders placed Russia in 164th place for censoring stories about its military and restricting foreign media outlets, it elevated Ukraine from 106th place last year to 79th.
It's strange
this year.
You're literally not allowed to use the letter Z there.
Higher than Greece and Serbia, 5 places behind Hungary.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious to know why Ukraine was elevated in this particular case, because as you pointed out, I mean, there's a lot of restrictions there.
They've added more restrictions within the last year.
Correct. Yeah, again, this may be from like 2021, so it may not be numbers from the last year. That is a question mark.
Yeah, there's a couple of years behind before as they compile the data and put it forth.
But yes, one of the things they've done within the last year since the invasion in Ukraine was the Ukrainians have said they're banning the opposition party. Yeah. So you can't, you know, be the opposition, which is definitely an infringement on free speech. And they gave their equivalent of the FCC whatever they call it there, control over the internet.
Right.
So yeah. there's a total restriction on what you can and can't see or hear. We, in fact, just heard from Galina, who was our Ukrainian, let's call her a correspondent. She's called in a few times over the last year or so to kind of give us updates. And she confirmed that there's, you know, certain things that you will be arrested for saying.
Yeah.
Including if you go against the Ukrainian government, if you speak in favor of the Russian state, you'll be arrested for that.
Yeah, the index itself describes Ukraine as the front line of resistance against the expansion of the Kremlin's propaganda system and makes no mention of Kiev's outright banning of opposition media, which was condemned last year by the European Federation of Journalists.
Okay.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, who banned Russian news networks in 2021, enacted a law in December giving his government the power to fine, censor, or block all broadcast, print, and online media outlets in Ukraine.
Makes me think they need a lower score than this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not surprised to find Russia is a very low score.
Sure.
You literally can't say the phrase two words.
What?
Right. You cannot say the phrase two words. I've seen the video. If you say them publicly, you will be arrested.
For what reason? Why?
Because they long ago did away with being able to say the phrase no war. So the way that they got around that for a while was just saying the phrase
two words.
Wow.
Yeah. You can't even imply no war.
Yeah, I was going to say that's an insinuation.
Yeah. You are not allowed to insinuate no war.
The European Union's blanket ban on Russian outlets like RT and Sputnik is also omitted from the organization's report. Further restrictions on Russian media in individual European countries are also omitted. For example, Estonia placed 8th on the list and was criticized only for the online cyberbullying of journalists, but not for blocking access to 53 websites used by the country's sizable Russian minority to watch banned Russian TV channels.
Hmm. Let's look at who's around number 45, which is where the United States scored. As you pointed out, they dropped. The United States dropped on the Press Freedom Index. But who are the neighbors of the United States? The Isle of Tonga is at number 44. The Dominican Republic at number 43. These are more press freedoms in the United States. Croatia at number 42. Italy at 41. And Argentina at number 40. Followed by Montenegro at 39. Just less free than the United States, Gambia at number 46, South Korea at 47, Suriname at 48, Armenia at 39.
South Korea.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always an interesting study to look at, and South America is particularly, you know, Africa, Asia, South America, these are places that don't have much over number 40 as far as their rankings are concerned.
So this is taking into account before America decided that no one's allowed to watch RT? Or are they
America,
taking that
I don't think, made that decision. I mean, what the United States did was they sanctioned Russia. There's a lot of things you can't do with regards to trading with Russia in the United States, as I understand it. But you can still watch RT. That hasn't been prohibited. I can go to RT's website right now. I can go to Odyssey and watch their stream.
Really? Because I was having trouble with that. Like, there would be other sites that pulled their stream from RT, and I couldn't see it because they'd pulled their stream
from
RT.
Well, there are, like Telegram, for example. There was a channel for RT in Telegram, and Telegram just shut it off. It says something like...
That's shameful.
If you try to go there, it says something like, I don't even know. I think it mentions terrorism or something like that. Like, you know, this channel has been closed due to terrorist activities or something like that.
That's too bad. Telegram is, you know, not what it used to be. But it's a centrally managed system. You can still go to RT within the United States. It's Europe that specifically banned RT from any kind of internet service providers. I believe Australia also prohibited RT, if I recall correctly. But what did happen in the United States was shortly after the sanctions went into place, RT America closed their offices because they could not get paid. So the money's coming from the Russian government, and Russia can't make bank transfers anymore, so they had to close RT America. So that division is gone, But RT is still producing English broadcasts, and you can still watch.
I just wanted to go to RT.com and see, and I did. I was able to do so.
And they stream on Odyssey.
And their headline is, Anti-Monarchy Protesters Arrested in London.
Well, the fact that they stream on Odyssey isn't really an indication, though, is it?
I mean, Odyssey is based in the United States.
So if the
so if there was some sort of prohibition that went into place on regarding RT, Odyssey would be violating sanctions, and they probably would be prosecuted for that.
Gotcha.
So that hasn't happened yet, as I understand it. I mean, that's not to say the U.S. is you know, some bastion of free speech, as obviously it is not. But they haven't gone that far. They haven't gone as far as some of the rest of the world.
It's upper mid-pack.
Yeah, right. You know, since you mentioned Russia, I've had a story in show prep here for a little bit. It ties right into what we're talking about, where Putin has jailed one of his critics for 25 years, according to Bloomberg News, in the harshest anti-war ruling yet. They've silenced Vladimir Kara-Murza, a 41-year-old persistent campaigner against Putin's rule, who has condemned Russia's war in Ukraine. He was found guilty by a Moscow court of treason and other charges for criticizing the invasion. According to Russian news services, he had also lobbied for sanctioning Russian officials. His sentence to be served in a strict regime penal colony is by far the longest yet handed down in the Kremlin's crackdowns on its opponents, which has sharply accelerated since the invasion in February of 2022. His lawyer has vowed to appeal. Good luck to him. On that one. He is one of the small number of activists who didn't flee into exile after the start of the war in Ukraine. He was arrested in April of last year on suspicion of spreading false information about the armed forces and declared a foreign agent. He was then charged with treason over a speech that he made before the Arizona House of Representatives, which denounced the Russian attack on Ukraine. So, yeah, you don't have freedom of speech in a lot of these places around the world, and it's you know, it sucks that Edward Snowden is stuck there because... Well,
and I just want to point out to our listeners that there's a difference between you and I having freedom of speech as people and journalists having freedom of speech.
Is there?
There is according to, like, law, right? Like, I'm going to be probably slightly less oppressed for telling the truth than somebody like Julian Assange, for example.
Mm.
Right.
Well, you don't have the audience.
Right. Well, also, I'm not a... I guess Julian Assange technically isn't a professional journalist either. But somebody like Matt Taibbi, right?
To quote Elon Musk, it's freedom of speech, not freedom of reach.
Well, okay.
Which is utter nonsense. Because if no one hears you, then you're not effectively speaking.
Like I would argue that it's probably more important for journalists to have carte blanche freedom of speech than any other subsection of humanity.
Well, I don't know. I would argue that part of the point of the Bill of Rights, for example, of the First Amendment, was the idea that you don't have this distinction between the press and people. Like, because here's
I'm with
the thing.
You. But the fact of the matter is, there is.
No, there isn't.
No.
In fact, in the eyes
of the law, there is.
Okay, so...
Where? In the United States?
Yeah.
No, there is not supposed to be.
Well, I know there's not supposed to be, but there is.
No, there actually isn't.
In the eyes of the law, there is.
No, anyone can be a quote-unquote journalist. Anyone can be a reporter. In fact, it's easier now to do this than ever before. In the same way that the printing press put the ability to
speak into more people's hands. A journalist... Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to come after me. But if Matt Taibbi pipes up and says something that they don't like, they're going to come after him.
Why would they not come after you?
What's the difference?
Why would they not come after you?
Well, they're not going to come after me because they don't know who I am yet.
You're on the radio.
Well, okay, but
I certainly knew who I was.
I don't have the reach,
and
I'm not a lifelong journalist.
I'm not either, right? But they still came after me.
Well, yeah, but you're dangerous.
Well, hold on.
Because you say things.
You do too, Captain.
But
I'm saying in the eyes of the law, right, you're more important to prosecute than me.
That's just because I've been around longer.
Yeah.
We're on the same show.
Same with Matt Taibbi.
Okay, so first and foremost, I just want to get this out of the way. So journalism is the occupation of reporting, writing, editing, photographing, or broadcasting news, or of conducting any news organization as a business. Okay, you are a journalist.
Yes.
You are a journalist. I am a journalist. We are journalists. We conduct a news organization. We broadcast news. We talk about what is going on in the world. That is news. That is journalism. So just to put that out there,
technically we are either propaganda or anti-propaganda, depending on your definition. It's an opinion show more than it is a news show, but we definitely do talk about
focus on current events,
the news. But the point I wanted to make was that over time, over the last couple hundred years, the tools of doing journalism, the tools of doing news, of reporting on things, whether it be opinionated or not, or whether it be fair, have become more democratized. They become cheaper. They become more widely decentralized. It's easier now than it's ever been, and so many people are doing it, to have your own channel on various different platforms, to put your own videos out there, to put your own audio out there. Whether you have impact is another question. Whether you have a large audience is another question. Right. But the size of your audience doesn't matter when it comes to you being considered free press.
Yes.
I would prefer to use the term free press than journalist, just because I think it's a wider
swath on that.
And when it comes to getting into things like courtrooms or government buildings or whatever, you're right to some extent, Captain, that some government thugs will try to prevent you. They will try to say, oh, well, show us your press pass.
Right.
Well, the reality is you can print your own damn press pass if you want to.
Well, you've brought up the legal problem. And so I'm not in His Majesty's press or whatever the legal distinction that another country would have.
Right.
But that was actually the point, is that anyone can, without asking for permission from the government, be the press because they decided to.
Sure.
Right. So one of the ways that they used to distinguish between quote-unquote press and just some schmuck was their access to the technology of press. Do you have access to a newspaper printing machine?
Same thing that happened to the recording industry, right? It used to be only a select amount of people who were educated enough to run all of the recording studio equipment and make an album, you know, got to do so. Technology came along. Threw that all out the window because now every Tom, Dick, and Harry who can download a piece of software can record an album.
Right, and they're all
musicians.
Same
thing has happened to journalism, right? The technology has become so pervasive and so inexpensive that now it no longer requires educated professionals to produce journalism.
Right, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry that produces music is a musician. So every Tom, Dick, and Harry that gets on and talks about the news is a journalist. That's one of the good things that's happening in
the
dangers of modern technology, but that's one of the upsides of modern technology.
I believe the definition that you read said specifically that they are compensated or somehow a professional at it.
Fair.
Well, that I don't know where that definition came from, but
I mean, either.
It was just dictionary.com.
Yeah, it's not a requirement that you be paid in order to be the free press.
We see things in the same. I'm just saying that the government does not see them the same way we do.
Well, they may not want to, but the reality at least is, and even though the United States isn't the most free as far as press freedoms is concerned,
much less freedom of speech.
Generally, if the government thugs try to stand in your way and try to say, well, you're not a real journalist or you're not a real reporter or whatever, generally, if you go ahead and you sue that particular agency, you're going to win because it is pretty established legally that anyone who wants to be the press is the press. It is now easier than ever. Anyone can have a blog, anyone can have a YouTube channel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But that's
all on your side.
But the treatment is still different.
Well, and this is all part of an important change in human society that is occurring. So, for example, are you a bank?
The device in my pocket is.
No. The answer is no, you're not a bank.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, there's a very legal
definition. I'm not recognized by that system as a bank.
Correct.
But I have every capacity that a bank has because of these blockchain-based technologies.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But the legal system doesn't care about that.
Well, give it a generation or two, and they will have
the journalists.
But that's where you're wrong, though. There have been a lot of...
The legal system doesn't care at all. So that's the thing. The journalists are supposed to have more protections. They don't have any protections.
Right.
Just like you and me.
Right.
And any schmuck on the sidewalk. No one has any protections.
Well, obviously, we talked earlier tonight about what they're doing to Julian Assange, and we've been through the list of other journalists that they've attacked here in the United States. So certainly that doesn't make you... immune from being attacked or being taken out by the government. But, you know, there are actual court decisions that have been made, and there are some ramifications of those decisions to where if you want to be on the list of press, of credentialed press in the New Hampshire court system, you can be on that list.
Sure.
Bree Keene is on that list. And you can be on it as an individual, by the way.
No, I've actually printed my own press pass and used that as a credential.
Right, and it worked.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Okay.
Well, hold on. Since you bring up the court's list of credentialed press, how do you do that?
I filled out a one-sheet piece of paper in 2012 or 2013 with the Supreme Court, signed my name to it, and I keep a copy of it in my backpack at all times, and whenever some court goon comes up to me and says, did you fill out the forms downstairs or whatever? Because they always want you to fill out forms right before the trial. And I say, no, I filled one out in 2013. And then I show them the press pass. And sometimes they already know the name.
Free speech, free journalism, freedom of speech, freedom of journalism does not require paperwork.
I get you. There's no doubt about it. And I think that you would be within your rights to just record a trial and then make a stand and refuse to do this. And I've actually seen people do this in the Concord court with the recent trial of Frank Staples.
Yes.
And I'm still in the middle of trying to upload the video to that. It's 13 hours long, so there's problems uploading this particular video. But I've actually seen people sit there and record in this court when the judge tries to get them to stop. They keep going, and the judge just backs down. So, like, there's the reality of what they try to do, and then there's what they'll actually get away with if they really push the issue. And I don't think they're going to get away with trying to say that the average person is not the press.
Yeah. And one thing I want to bring up that's unique to America, so we have the quote-unquote freedom of speech as opposed to the so-called freedom of expression. And what's weird is that legally speaking, freedom of expression is less protective than freedom of speech. So even here where the legal protection should be the highest, we experience less real protection in our ability to express ourselves.
Yeah, I consider anything that the government says is a legal protection of freedom of speech to be fake, to be false, to be a lie.
Yeah.
We got more coming up here. You can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That much is true. If your speech is backing up the state, then you'll be protected. But if your speech is a threat in some way,
which is the speech that most needs protecting.
Indeed. The number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. Whether you want to talk about freedom of speech, the banking crisis, we still have to talk about the First Republic situation, and whatever's on your mind goes, it's Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.